WBAL and WBAL.com. We are with Jameson Hensley right now from ESPN.com. J-Mo, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Brett?
Doing great. Tell me about your New Orleans experience.
Well, I mean, it was kind of, it built up throughout the week because you saw when the people started coming in, and that's what makes the Super Bowl so kind of such a unique event. It's just that it's not at a home team's stadium. It's at a site where, you know, both teams converge, their fans converge. And throughout the week, it just kept getting more and more Ravens fans. And I think that's kind of what stood out to me early, was that, wow, the Ravens are going to have a home field advantage in this game. And then I think that just kind of went into the Jonathan Ogden getting into the Hall of Fame, the first kind of original Raven to get into the Hall of Fame, and then, you know, the Ravens winning the Super Bowl. So I think it was just a whole week of building up where I just kept seeing a series of wins for the Ravens.
You know, when I looked at it as far as the 49ers, did you feel or sense that, and I'm referencing back to my 2000 year where the Ravens were a really loose team, and then you got, you know, the Giants, and they were all stiff upper lip business. Then you kind of get that sense, especially on that Friday press conference, I just felt that, you know, John was accepting of the moment, accepting of everything, and it looked like, you know, Jim was like, yeah, whatever, yeah, you know, just kind of like, I don't know, it felt like the energy that John gave off was the energy that was exhibited on Sunday with his players and vice versa for his brother.
Yeah, and I think back in 2000, I think for you guys, it was more having kind of that chip on your shoulder where you were coming into this game being kind of the new kids, you know, the team that hadn't been to the playoffs before that was kind of just, you know, taking over the party. This time, I think it was more that the Ravens were loose because they had so much experience, so much big game experience. Of course, not Super Bowl experience, but just such big game experience. And I think that translated to what you saw throughout the week, and I think that's what you saw in the game, especially early, where you had a quarterback with Joe Flacco, who has been in three AFC championship games, playoffs every single year, and then you had Colin Kaepernick, who was just in his 10th, you know, overall start. And I think in the first half, you kind of saw where Flacco was this cool, calm, collected guy, and you saw Kaepernick have maybe some little jitters early. He had a good second half, but I think at the early, I think that's really what was the difference for the Ravens, was that experience.
And, you know, I look at, you know, now with the way the league is structured, it's now all about, okay, how can you get back to that stage for the Ravens and moving forward in this AFC North division? Where do you see things? You know, there are some huge questions. Obviously, you know, position one is Joe Flacco, but there's some strong key pieces. You know, we've been talking about the Ellerbys, the Krugers, and the Kerry Williams of the world, but there's some strong key pieces to stay competitive. Where do you see this team headed?
Well, I think a lot has to be these young guys have to step up. I think it's going to be a younger team next year. And whether that includes an Ed Reed, I think it's yet to be determined. I think the Ravens would love to have him. I just don't think they might not have the cap room to match another team's offer, kind of like the Colts or the Patriots. But I think you go into the season where if they don't, you know, there's talks about Anquan Boldin, they might have to release him because of the salary cap. There's a potential where the Ravens might only have two starters over the age of 30 next year, and one of those guys would be Suggs. So there is a potential where, you know, you could have a little bit of turnover and you would have a younger team. But as we've seen so many times in the past, and the Ravens brought this up today at their State of the Ravens press conference, you know, as fans and as media, when they go through change, you know, you kind of react going, you know, how's this team going to respond? There's no way they can come back after losing, you know, a couple years ago, a Derek Mason, a Kelly Gregg. And then last year, Ben Grubbs is gone. Who's going to replace him? It's just that they always seem to have, whether it's plugging a kind of like, you know, a mid-tier free agent or a draft pick coming up, they always seem to fill those spots. And I think that's what's going to happen this next year. They're going to have young guys step up.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. You look back at this rookie class, and you guys like Courtney Upshaw, Justin Tucker, Bernard Pierce. It was a really good rookie class that contributed in a lot of different areas right away. And then as savvy a free agent signings as you're going to get when it comes to Jacoby Jones and Corey Graham, not the big wow free agent signings, which basically, Jameson, in recent years, the Ravens just haven't partaked in.
Yeah, and then they're not going to be able to do this year either. Even if they get, Joe Flacco signs the long-term deal and they get some salary cap, they're just not going to have the money to make, this huge splash.
No.
And honestly, I don't think they really have to do that. I mean, they just have to – I think the guy – there's two key guys. I think one guy that they would really like is Ed Reed, obviously, just because of his experience. If you lose a Ray Lewis, I think they would like to have a leader. And some people think that, even though Ed doesn't get as much airtime as far as motivating these guys, he's the guy behind the scenes. That is as much, or maybe even a bigger leader than what Ray has been over the past few years. But the other guy is Danelle Ellerbe. And if you lose a Ray Lewis, you're going to need Ellerbe. I don't know if there's going to be a guy that they can get in there's possibly a guy can get in the draft, but Ellerbe is right now a known product. And I think he would be a guy that they would love. Of all the guys that we're talking about, as far as value, I think they consider him probably they could get him as the best value of their free agents going forward.
Where are you as far as Pittsburgh is concerned? And because obviously the elephant in the room is, both of these teams, the Pittsburgh Steelers as well as the Baltimore Ravens, are the ones that seemingly consistently compete not only in the AFC North but also, the overall AFC. Where are you at as far as what they have to go through this offseason?
Yeah, I think they're going to go, of all the teams, they're going to undergo the biggest change. Mike Wallace is gone. They're not going to be able to get a guy like him.
Wait, stop. Say that again?
Yeah, Mike Wallace is gone. I mean, just because, the Ravens, they talk about, the kind of how tight they are.
Yes.
The Steelers are just tremendously over. I mean, I've heard, up to $30 million over the cap where they're going to have, Mike Wallace is definitely gone. James Harrison likely will have to take a pay cut to come back. Casey Hampton, he is gone. A lot of key figures and a lot of guys that you would identify with the Steelers over the past, 5-6 years, they maybe even more than that, they're not going to be part of the Steelers. So, and the Steelers still have holes. I mean, they don't have a starting running back. And where they're going to plug these holes, it's going to have to be through the draft because they don't have the cap room to go out and get a free agent. And they're not going to be able to find their own free agents. So they're going to have to go through the draft. They're going to have some young guys step up. But they're going to be, of all four teams in the division, they're going to have to go through the biggest change. And there's going to be a lot of growing pains in Pittsburgh.